to last week, and this is a rough one. Jesus is going to really lay it to these guys, but we'll go ahead and pray and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we thank you that you make it so clear what is really needed for salvation, and that's trusting in you and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And we're thankful for that, Lord, and we're thankful for what he did for us, and what a great thing. Sometimes we don't understand why you would do something like that, but that's because you loved us, and we're grateful for it. And we thank you for dying for our sins, and we praise you for that, Lord. Now we pray, Lord, that as we get into this lesson this morning, that our eyes, our ears would be open, and that we could glean some things. Help us in our lives as well as see the rebuke that you lay on the leaders of the nation of Israel. And then we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. But last week we went through the question that the scribe, which was a lawyer, asked Jesus, not to get an answer that he didn't know himself, but to get Jesus to admit that there is one Lord. And in this lawyer's mind, Jesus, who the religious leaders thought was born of fornication, that's who they thought he was born of, in this lawyer's mind, he could not be the God of the Old Testament. The Jewish leaders, they knew, the scribes knew of the God of Moses, right? And they knew the God of Moses was the I Am that Moses spake of that they never saw. They never saw this God, but they knew that Moses spake of him, and they heard him. And they claimed that what they claimed was that then shows up Jesus, who claims to be God, and when he said I am, and claimed that if you have seen the Son, that you have seen the Father. And to the Jewish leaders, this was blasphemy. Okay, this was blasphemy because of the one God admission in the Old Testament. Right? The God said, I am the Lord thy God. There is none other beside me. Right? And so the lawyer's thinking here is that if there is Jesus that is claiming to be God, and the Father looks like Jesus, and Jesus looks like the Father, then that's two gods. That's what he thought in his mind. Right? And they believe that there is one God. And so when Jesus said, he gave the admission that there's one God. In the lawyer's mind, Jesus just proved that they were right. And by his own admission, he was wrong. That's what he thought. Okay? And that's found in Matthew chapter 22. You read the last few verses there. But and so what's fair is fair. They ask Jesus a question to get an admission out of him, and then respond. The lawyer responds. You'll find the response in I think it's the Mark or the Luke passage, but he responds, and he responds discreetly in Jesus' eyes. But if you ask Jesus a question to get an admission out of him, and you give a response to his answer or his admission, it's right and it's fair for Jesus to get the answer or ask a question and to get an admission from you. And then respond to your admission or your answer. And so then that's what he does. And so what's fair is fair. And so we see that the question Jesus asked is in correlation to the lawyer's question and thinking. You're looking for you're looking for the one Lord in the Old Testament? Okay. How is David influenced by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, calling his son, who you interpret as being a direct descendant of David, his Lord, if the direct descendant of David is just a man? Right? That would go against the Scripture. That's what Jesus was trying to point out. That's going to go against the Scripture. Putting a son with authority over the Father, which would be judging the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, a sinner. Because David is speaking by the Holy Ghost. And if this is just a descendant of David, why is the one Lord of the Old Testament giving a mere man something reserved for the Lord's Son? The right hand. To sit on the right hand of the Father. Okay? And so, we saw this last week, and so the only answer to this is because his son, a descendant of David, not a direct descendant of David, it wasn't from the seed of David, it was the seed of Mary. It wasn't of the seed of Joseph, it was the seed of Mary. And so the only way that this could happen is if the Lord was virgin born, as the prophecies in the Old Testament prophesied. And so again, the Pharisees will either have to fall down and repent or shut up, because they're not about to bad rap David. We're not in front of the other Jews. They're not going to do that. And they're not about to take back their admission of who Christ should be. They already gave the admission. And so now Jesus is going to really lay it on them in Matthew chapter 22 or 23. He's going to really lay into these religious leaders. Verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Notice here who Jesus is addressing. Matthew 23, 1. He addresses the multitude. Okay? And as you read down, you're going to find out some people that are in this multitude. You're going to find in verse 13 that the scribes and the Pharisees are in this multitude of people. Okay? But also in the multitude of people, there's going to be other Jews there, and there's going to be the disciples there, and we find that in verse 1. And so he's teaching his disciples, he's teaching the Jews, and he's also teaching the scribes and the Pharisees, because they're also in the crowd. And Jesus shows, he's going to show by what he says in Matthew 23, that the deeds and the doctrines of religious hypocrites are to be made light of. They're to be made light of, and they're to be taught to the people, to the multitudes. Regardless of who is sitting in the multitude, regardless if the leaders are there, you're to teach about this. You're to teach about their doctrines and what they do. And so the idea that we're not to speak against any other religion is satanic. It's satanic. It's a satanic lie. And Jesus openly spoke against other people's religions when they contradicted the truth and they damned people to hell. He openly did this. And so whenever somebody says that you're not to speak badly or judge other people's religions, you can say to them, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. Right? He did it frequently. He did it with authority. And he's our example, and we're to follow his preaching, according to Romans 16:25. And if you read in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. There's your criteria. Okay? You can use, you can follow Jesus Christ's preaching as long as it's according to the mystery, right? According to the gospel that Paul gave. And if people say, well, you're not Jesus Christ, you can say, well, neither was Paul. Neither was Paul. Paul wasn't Jesus Christ, was he? No. But he preached against people's religions. And he called a person a child of the devil in Acts chapter 13. But go with me if you would to Acts 17. Here's Paul. We'll start in verse 18. Acts 17. We'll start in 16. The Bible says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Okay, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics." How do you say that? Is it Stoics? Stoics? Okay. "Encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Some he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, 'May we go? May we know what this new doctrine thereof thou speaketh? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athens and strangers which spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing.' And then Paul stood in the midst of Marcel and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," here's their religious, this is what they're practicing, okay? "I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Okay? They have a religion, folks, and Paul is speaking against their religion openly, in the public, to everybody. Okay? And so, here's some bunch of people, they're looking daily for some new thing to hear or teach, and it's not wrong to want to get something from God new. But these guys aren't trying to get something from God. They just, if they hear something that is from God, hey, you find out later, when he started talking about the resurrection, they mocked him. When you do hear the truth of the Word of God, what do you do with it? That's something new that they never heard. Why aren't they grasping onto it? But it's not wrong to want to search the Bible and to want to search the Scripture and find something new that God wants to give you. God wants to show you something new every day in His Bible, in the Word of God. And you should be looking for something. But don't expect to get anything if He's showed you something and you don't believe it. Don't expect to get anything else until you believe what He showed you. Especially if it goes against your grain, right? You learn something new in the Bible and you don't sit well with you. What do you do with it? Believe it or not believe it? You get more, the more you believe, the more the Lord wants to show you. Right? So it's not wrong. But these guys are looking for something new because they weren't looking for the Scripture. They weren't looking for the truth. They were looking for something new to tell everybody. They were bored with what they were hearing. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." Paul followed the way Christ was. He openly spoke against these religious people. And we're to do the same. Those that teach their congregations not to judge other religions or expose other religions' doctrines where they contradict the Bible, they have something to hide. They have something to hide. They're men pleasers and for wealth and for power, just like the scribes, just like the Pharisees, for wealth and power, they teach things and instruct their people not to judge other religions or doctrines or other churches. Why? Because if they teach them to do this, then they're going to judge their own church by the Word of God. And so the best thing for a church that wants to keep their power over the people, and the best thing for a church that wants to keep the money flowing in, is to say, "Guys, thou shalt not judge. Don't judge others." Right? Because they don't want to be judged. And if they start being judged, people are going to find out what kind of hypocrites they really are. And Jesus taught otherwise, and for good reason. Why? So people wouldn't be hoodwinked out of the truth. That's why he did this. Jesus wants people to go to heaven, not to hell. And if you got people teaching doctrines of works to get saved on the pulpit or to people in schools, let me tell you, you've got problems. And Jesus is going to get into it here. People are going to die and go to hell. And that's why Jesus rebukes these leaders, and he rebukes them hard. Here in Matthew 23, everything Jesus is going to show you is going to be related to a religious setting. And all cults and all heretics and all apostates that use the Bible have some of these characteristics, if not all of the characteristics. I mean, you look at the Catholic Church, I mean, man, you're looking at something that lines right up with everything Jesus is saying. But it's not just the Catholic Church. It's all of them. At this time, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day, they all have a Babylonian background. Why? Because from about 700 B.C. up till 400 B.C., the Jews were in captivity, and they were under the control of Babylon for quite some time. And so a lot of the traditions that they've received here and the Jews got and gave to the Jews were from Babylon, Syria, and Greece. Why? Because those are the groups that were in control of the Jews during this time period. And as a result, they took in many of these philosophies of the Babylonian religious mystery Babylon religious system, and they took that into their own religion, and they mixed that Babylonian religion with their own. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It made the whole word of God of none effect. By what they were teaching with their traditions and their works, okay. And so, why? Because they wanted to destroy the Word of God. They wanted to destroy it. You can find that verse in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 2. Matthew chapter 23, verse 2. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. They say and do not. And so here Jesus teaches his disciples and the multitude that truth is truth, no matter who says it. That's what he's saying. Now let me ask you something. Do you really believe that every preacher that has ever taught you something from the Bible has always obeyed what he taught? Do you really believe that? If you do, you're pretty naive. But Jesus teaches that if it's truth, then you need to obey it. Even if the person over you or in authority or whether he's a teacher or preacher is not obeying it, you're still to obey the truth, the Word of God. Do you know why people today disrespect the church and disrespect the Word of God and disrespect the preachers and disrespect the teachers? Because they disrespect the people who preach the Word of God. Why? Because they see the works that they do. They see the works that they do. Why do men and women leave a Bible-believing church and forsake the brethren? Most often it's because the preacher or teacher didn't do something that the Bible is very clear on, that they're supposed to do. And they're teaching other people to do it, and yet they see them not do it. Okay? And so they get this bug that they want to leave. And then they go to another church, and they find out that preacher's not doing what he's teaching. And then they meet that church, and they go to another church, and it goes on and on and on until they're not in church anymore. And this is a very, very bad situation for a person to get themselves into. And people use the excuse, of rejecting salvation because they see preachers and teachers or hear about them in the paper or on the news channel not living even to the clearest commands of the Bible that every unsaved people know. Right? Now, whether you get to the white throne judgment or whether you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be able to give that excuse. Because right here, Jesus is saying, that's not an excuse. I told you to obey the Word of God even when the teacher isn't obeying the Word of God. Or even when the preacher isn't obeying the Word of God. And Jesus says, you're not going to have an excuse. Okay? They're going to say, well, I didn't live it because he didn't live it. And Jesus is going to say, well, that's your problem. Because I told you to live it. And so what is taught in the Bible is right, whether or not man's teaching it, the man that's teaching it is living it or not. Okay? The question is here, are you coming to church to hear what a man says? Or are you coming to church to hear what God says? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Hey, a lot of times we go and we go to church or we stay home from church, right? Because we don't want to hear what the guy says. But if we want to hear what God says, then our hearts will be right, and we don't have to be concerned with what a man says when we come to church. And so, will I always do what I teach? I can tell you no. I got a wicked, sinful body just like everybody else in here. Will the pastor always do what he teaches? We'd like to hope so, but the reality of it, probably not, folks. Right? Will God always do what he teaches? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we need to remember that when we come to church to hear the Word of God. Come to hear from God, your eyes won't be on the man. Okay? That's the lesson we could get there. Verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They say, this is what these guys said. They said, you have to be circumcised. You want to be saved? Get circumcised. If you want to go to heaven, then you better keep all the commandments. And they even added more commandments than what God had given them. But they say, keep the commandments. Go, if you would, to Acts 15. Acts 15. Pastor Scott, I think he's got this one in the reference Bible. Acts 15:10. Bible says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Okay? What were they teaching? Verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. They're teaching works. They're teaching works. You have to keep all the commandments. And you name me one person that ever kept all the commandments besides Jesus Christ. Nobody. The Bible says neither they were able to keep. Okay? And so they won't love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, but they'll tell you to do it. And they won't help their neighbor out when they'll tell you to do it. And they're going to covet your money and your things, but they'll tell you not to covet. Right? They'll commit adultery with a woman, but stone you when you do it, and hope to escape the stoning. That's what they did. They came up to Jesus about this one woman. We caught her in the very act, and he says, show me the man. Where's the man with this woman? And then they went away. They put their heads down. And they'll tell you not to steal while they're stealing from the widows. We're going to read about it. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And they'll tell you if you don't keep all the commandments, you cannot be saved. Yet none of them ever kept all of the commandments. And yet they believe that they were righteous. The leaders believe they were righteous because, after all, they drove around with scripture signs on their cars. And they had them on their shirts. And they had them on their hats. You're going to find that's what they did. They do the same thing that Bible believers do today. All right? That's this bunch here. And they say, look at me! Look at my scripture on my forehead. Right? Look at the scripture sign on the back of my car. But these guys, they can't even keep the law of God, and they add washing your hands to the law of God. That's one of their commandments. That's what they rebuked Jesus and his disciples. They were eating without washing their hands. Jesus said, you need to wash your heart. You need to get your heart right. And so, no, Moses never commanded, he never commanded to wash your hands like this. Well, why are they washing their hands? Why are they making that a commandment? And it's just like today, folks. People add, you have to be baptized to get saved. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to be baptized. That's what they do today, folks. They add something to the Word of God. They add something to the commandments. And that's why you have the mess we're in today with trying to get people the truth. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to believe. They're hearing all sorts of things. And when you give them the simple truth, they can't. That's too easy. Catholics believe saved by grace. And they believe that you need to be born again. But they believe that's imparted through you through keeping the sacraments. That's what they believe. And they take the words of God and they apply them to their own doctrines. Okay? Verse 5. Matthew 23, verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. That's this writing down these verses and putting them on their foreheads. And you'll find that in Deuteronomy, is it Deuteronomy 6? Yeah, I can't remember. I think it's Deuteronomy 6. Yeah, Deuteronomy 6:8. And they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments. If people come to church, you should come to church to hear about God and to hear about Jesus. All right? And I don't want to come to church to hear about how righteous a person claims to be. The Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We know that. I want to come to church to hear about Jesus. I want to come to church to hear about what God wants for me. Come to church to be a blessing to the Lord. And so, if you're saved and you have any righteousness, it's not because of you. It's because of Jesus Christ who's working in you. That you've trusted. But it's not because of anything that we can do. And so, if you get to do something for the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. And if you get recognized, praise Jesus. But if you're doing it yourself, then and you're not doing it because for the Lord, and you're doing it yourself, God doesn't recognize that. He doesn't. He doesn't recognize what you're doing unless it's through Jesus. And these guys are doing all these things to be seen of men. The Bible says right there in verse 5, they're doing these things to be seen of men. They're wearing the scriptures so that everybody can see how spiritual they are. And they're adding to the borders of their garments more than what they needed to be there, right? But anyway, if you don't do it through the Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't see it. It's for nada, which is slang for nothing, right? And so here are the Pharisees and the scribes. This is how they appeared righteous before men. This is how they thought that they were righteous, folks. They wrote down the scriptures. They carried them around with them on their heads and their foreheads. It's found in Deuteronomy 6:8. And they took the scriptures and applied them literally. Deuteronomy 6:8. That's what they were doing. They were applying those things literally. Which, it's not bad to have a scripture sign on your car, folks. And it's not bad to put them on your wall. But are those scripture signs that are on your car or on your wall, are they to remind you about God? And are they so that you can remind yourself to put that in your heart? Or is it to remind everybody else how wicked they are? There's a difference, folks. And how spiritual you are, there's a big difference there. And so here the Jews were commanded to put a blue fringe in their borders, right? To remember to do the commandments so they can have a memory. Hey, I need to remember God. I need to remember what God told me. And so what does the Pharisees and the scribes do? They put these big, long blue ribbons on their garments, which probably added about 8 inches, and their garments were now, they're walking on the robe, and he says, beware of men in long robes. He says that later. So why? So all the people could see when they were coming into the marketplace that this guy was one to be recognized. Why? We could see him a long way away. He's a spiritual man. He's showing us how spiritual it is because he remembers all the commandments. Look at how big that blue band is. And Moses never commanded it to be to make a show out of it. It was for you to remember that this is what the Lord had told you so you could keep all the words of the Lord. And so today, what do we have? You've got churches. And you've got a dress code that you got to stand by in the churches. The guys, they got to have their... I mean, when we went to school, I think you got swats if your hair was touching your collar. I can't remember, but I remember getting swats for a lot of things, and I think that was one of them. Or they called your mom and dad, and they told you. But listen, folks, we've got this idea that you got to dress this, you got to wear a suit and tie, you got to do all this stuff, you got to make sure that your skirt's down below your knees, you got to have your hair, you can't cut it, whatever, for the women or whatnot. And what Jesus is saying here is, yeah, okay, fine. But what's in the heart? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it to make a show to other people, or is this just something that you that's in your heart that you want to follow the word of God and look like a man instead of a woman? Right? Is your heart right with God? If it's right with God, you won't just keep the commandments that are visual to others. You'll keep the commandments that are not visual to others. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't do this. And we'll go ahead and stop there and we'll pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, even though it's no excuse not to obey your words when we see others teaching and preaching and not doing, we just pray that we would come to hear from you. And our eyes won't be on the man. We'll hear what's important to you. And we'll hear what you want us to do, not what somebody else tells us to do. And we pray, Lord, that we would just have a soft heart and a humble heart towards thee. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.